जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी। यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी। यमुना तीर वनचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaur Hari Bol. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaur Hari Bol. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Thank you. ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜ ಕಚಾಯ ಎಷ್ಟೋ ದೃಶ್ಯದ ಶಿಷ್ಯನ್ ಮಹೇ ಚರಣಾರ್ವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವಿದಾನಂದ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜ ಕಚಾರ್ಯ ಎಷ್ಟೋ ದೃಶ್ಯದ ಶಿಷ್ಯನ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶ್ರಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಶ್ರೀ ರೂಪ ಸನಾತನ ಭಟ್ಟ ರಘುನಾಥ ಶ್ರೀಜೀವ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಭಟ್ಟ ದಾಸ ರಘುನಾಥ ಷಡ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಪ್ರಭುಗಣ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ದಾಸ ಠಾಕುರ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಗೋ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸ ಆದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಕುಂಡ ರಾಧಾ ಕುಂಡ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧನ್ ಕಿ ಜಯ. ಶ್ರೀ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಜಯ. ಶ್ರೀ ನವದೀಪ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಜಯ. ಪುರುಷೋತ್ತಮ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಜಯ. ಗಂಗಾ ಮೈಯಾ ಕಿ ಜಯ. ಯಮುನಾ ಮೈಯಾ ಕಿ ಜಯ. ಭಕ್ತಿ ದೇವಿ ಕಿ ಜಯ. ತುಳಸಿ ಮಹಾರಾಣಿ ಕಿ ಜಯ. ಶ್ರೀ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿನೋದ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಅಭಿಭಾವ್ ದಿವಸ್ ಕೀ ಗೌ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಸ್ತುತಿ ಅಸೆಂಬ್ಲಿ ವೋಟೀಸ್. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಸ್ತುತಿ ಅಸೆಂಬ್ಲಿ ವೋಟೀಸ್. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಸ್ತುತಿ ಅಸೆಂಬ್ಲಿ ವೋಟೀಸ್. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್. ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅಂಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯಂ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ. ಭಗವತಿ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೆ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಟಿಕೀ. ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home, Text 22. Andapureva Vadiro Mandapragyascha Samapratam Vishirnadanto Madagni ಸರಾಗಃ ಕಫಂ ಉದ್ವಹನ್ ಅಂದಪುರೈವ ವದಿರೋ ಮಂದಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾಶ್ಚ ಸಾಂಪ್ರತಂ ವಿಶೀರ್ಣದಂತೋ ಮಂದಾಗ್ನೇ ಸರಾಗಃ ಕಫಂ ಉದ್ವಹನ್ ಅಂದಪುರೈವ ವಧಿರೋ ಮಂದಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾಶ್ಚ ಸಾಂಪ್ರತಂ ವಿಶೀರ್ಣದಂತೋ ಮಂದಾಗ್ನಿ ಸರಾಕಃ ಕಫಂ ಉದ್ವಹನ್. ಅಂದಪುರೈವ ವಧಿರೋ ಮಂದಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾಶ್ಚ ಸಾಂಪ್ರತಂ विशीर्णदन्तो मन्दाग्नी सरागः कफमुद्वहन् अन्धपुरेव बधिरो मन्दप्रज्ञा च साम्प्रतम् विशीर्णदन्तो मन्दाग्नी सरागः कफम् उद्वहन् अन्धपुरेव बधिरो मन्दप्रज्ञा च साम्प्रतम् विशीर्णदन्तो मदाग्निः सरागः कफम् उद्वहन् माताजि वर्ड् टु वर्ड् ट्रान्स्लेशन् अन्धः ब्लैण्ड् पुरा फ्रोम् द बिगिनिङ्ग् एव सर्टन्लि वदिरः हार्ड् आफ् हियरिङ्ग् मन्दप्रज्ञाः memory shortened, cha and sampratam recently, vishirana loosened, dantaha teeth, mand agnihi liver action decreased, saragaha with sound, kapham coughing much mucus, udvahan coming out. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Shri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. You have been blind from your very birth. And recently you have become hard of hearing. Your memory is shortened and your intelligence is disturbed. Your teeth are loose, your liver is defective, and you are coughing up mucus. Purport. The symptoms of old age, which had already developed in Dhritarashtra, were all one after another pointed out to him as warning that death was nearing very quickly. And still he was foolishly carefree about his future. The signs pointed out by Vidur in the body of Dhritarashtra were signs of apakshaya, or dwindling of the material body before the last stroke of death. The body is born, it develops, stays, creates other bodies, dwindles, and then vanishes. But foolish men want to make a permanent settlement of the perishable body and think that their caste, children, society, country, etc. will give them protection. With such foolish ideas, they become overtaken by such temporary engagements and forget altogether that they must give up this temporary body and take a new one, again to arrange for another term of society, friendship and love, again to perish ultimately. They forget their permanent identity and become foolishly active for impermanent occupations, forgetting altogether their prime duty. Saints and sages like Vidur approach such foolish men to awaken them to the real situation. But they take such sadhus and saints as parasites of society, and almost all of them refuse to hear the words of such sadhus and saints. Although they welcome show-bottle sadhus and so-called saints who can satisfy their senses. Vidur was not a sadhu to satisfy the ill-gotten sentiment of the Dhritarashtra. He was correctly pointing out the real situation of life and how one can save oneself from such catastrophes. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयमरूप कदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुत पदकमलम् श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवामश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पदान सगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितामश्च नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरतुषे नमः। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। You have been blind from your very birth, and recently you have become hard of hearing. Your memory is shortened and your intelligence is disturbed. Your teeth are loose, your liver is defective, and you are coughing up mucus. Hare Krishna. So, in the 12th canto, 3rd chapter of the Bhumigita, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in the commentary of Yas Uttama Shloka Guna Anuvada, where he explains what it means to glorify Krishna. And there he writes that basically glorifying Uttama Shloka Krishna means to glorify his great devotees. But better than that is to glorify the eternal associates of Shri Krishna. To hear the qualities of Shri Krishna from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and specifically to discuss the pastimes of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, taking the advice of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I'll try to intersperse the glories of Vidur with the glories of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and if possible also of Srila Jiva Goswami, as they are the eternal associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I just saw Sarup Damodar Goswami Prabhu here. I think he's just left. But I would just like to thank him because he was the first devotee I met. He's there? Haribol Prabhu. He was the first devotee I met when I made my first attempt to go to Vrindavan. I think it was 96 or something. And he was the first devotee I met in the train. And I was a bit surprised because there were not so many devotees that time. So I was pleasantly surprised that I was going to Vrindavan. I didn't inform many devotees. There were very few devotees. I just made an attempt on my own, you know, reading Prabhupada's Krishna book. I was inspired. So when I met Prabhuji there, I took it as a real positive sign. It's auspicious. Krishna is blessing. And he was very encouraging actually. He guided me where I should go, where I should stay. Though I messed it up on reaching there, but still I remembered what he said. So thank you very much, Pro. And I take it an auspicious sign that he's there today also. Probably I'll start with Bhaktivinoda Thakur first and then go to the character of Vidura also, or however Krishna inspires. So the Purnati mantra is Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchitana Satchita Anandanamine Gauri Shakti Sarupaya Rupanuga Parayate. So we'll just break this Purnati mantra to understand the position of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Bhaktivinoda was the title that was given to Srila Kedarnath Dutt. That was his civil name. That was his name when he was born, given to him by his father. But in the year of 86-87, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he was still the magistrate then, wrote profusely and moved nearly about 10 books in a span of 1 year. And seeing this, all the Brahman and the Vaishnavas, headed by Vipin Bihari Goswami, who was a spiritual master, a school guru in one sense, awarded him this title of Bhakti Vinod. Bhakti Vinod literally means one who takes pleasure in the pastimes of devotional service. And Kedarnath at that time was hesitant to accept this title. But then he writes very candidly and very honestly that I was inspired in a dream by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to accept the title. And therefore, I accepted the title awarded by the Vaishnavas. Satchid Anand Namine. So Satchid Anand was actually a title previously given to Kedarnath Dutt. This was, Bhaktivinoda was the title that he received in about 86-87. And Satchid Anand was a title that he was awarded in, I think, 68-69, when he wrote an essay, Satchid Anand Premalankar, which was inspired by the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, when he came in touch with the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, specifically with the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said, I read it once, and I got a bit of idea. But then I read it the second time, and that is when I was really inspired by the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he composes this essay, Satchidananda Premalankar. It is because of this essay the title is awarded to Kedarnath Dutt at that time as Satchidananda. So Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya. So Bhakti Siddhanta Sri Thakur in one of his essay clarifies this point of why Bhakti Vinod Thakur is known as Gaura Shakti Swarupaya. So if you go to his house in Godhrum Dweep, you will see that the worshipable deities there of Bhaktivinoda Thakur are Gaur Gadadhar. So Gaur Shakti is nothing but, as you know, the Panch Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Akaram Bhakta Akyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. So this Bhakta Shakti or Gaur Shakti is non-different from Gadadhar Pandit. So Gaur Shakti Swarupaya. So it is actually the Swarup or the Avesh or of Gadadhar Pandit. So that is what it means. Gaura Shakti Swarupaya. Rupanuga Varayate. He is foremost in the lineage of the devotees of Rup Goswami. Or he is a strict follower of Rup Goswami. That's how Srila Prabhupada translates. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself actually clarifies his position in Krishna Leela in one of his books. I think it's Navdeep Dham Tarang or something that he composes, where he clarifies that he is Kamal Manjari, assisting Anang Manjari in the Kunj of Lalita Devi. That's Swanand Sukhad Kunja. That's the Kunj of Lalita Devi. That's how his house is also named in Godhrum Dweep. In fact, his house is also named the same way in at the banks of Radha Kund. That's exactly where Lalita Devi's kunj is also there. So, he clarifies that how he's actually assisting Anang Manjari in her pastimes, in assisting Lalita Sakhi. It's also interesting to note that actually if you see the Pranati mantra of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, that's right. So in that case also it said Gaur Kishoraya Sakshat Vairagya Murte. So here it is Sarupaya. That's Gaur Shakti Sarupaya in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's case. And in Gaur Kishoradas Babaji's case it is Vairagya. Sakshat Vairagya Murte. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, though his spiritual master, his Siksha Guru was Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, but he takes his Babaji Vesh from Gaur Kishoradas Babaji Maharaj. So Gaur Kishoradas Babaji Maharaj was actually inspired by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he would every day come to hear his lectures. And he would lecture in Godrum Tripat, Swananda Sukhat Kunj. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur then implores Gaur Kishoradas Babaji Maharaj. In fact, even before he requests Gaur Kishoradas Babaji Maharaj, Gaur Kishore Babaji Maharaj, by his intuition, realizes that this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is going to ask of him. So when he comes to know this, he actually leaves one fine day from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house unannounced and hides himself in Navdweep. And he knows that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is going to come to Navdweep searching for him. So what Gaur Kishoradas Babaji Maharaj does is actually, he hides himself in a veranda of a prostitute's house. Because he knows that Bhaktivinoda Thakur will come and search him all over in Navdweep. But this will be the most unlikely place that he'll ever come to search for him. And so realizing this, he hides himself in the veranda of a prostitute's house. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur in fact comes to Navdweep searching for Gaur Kishoradas Babaji. He searches him all around, but he's not able to find him. And being disappointed, he goes back. And Gaur Kishoradas Babaji Maharaj, by dint of his vision, realizes that he's gone back and he becomes joyous. And he actually starts performing kirtan, you know, in a loud manner. He says, yes, I have cheated him. And he's jubilant that, you know, he's actually able to get away with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That was his nature. But then Gaur Kishoradas Babaji Maharaj comes to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house again to hear him speak. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur this time again requests him. And Gaur Kishoradas Babaji Maharaj says, yes, that's the desire of Mahaprabhu. I'll give you Babaji wish. So the point here is actually Gaur Kishoradas Babaji Maharaj is Sakshat Vairagya Murte. So who's the Vairagya Murte in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela? Who's the Vairagya Murte? Okay, who's the Acharya of Vairagya? Raghunath Das Goswami. And whom did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hand over Raghunath Das Goswami to? Sarup Damodar Goswami. So Sarup Damodar Goswami actually is the Vairagya Murte. And he is not different from Lalita Sakhi. So that actually explains the whole Siksha line also in terms of how they are placed in Krishna Leela. So Sarup Damodar Goswami is actually, Gaur Kishoradas Babaji Maharaj is supposed to be the Avesh Shakti of Sarup Damodar Goswami. And in the line of Lalita Sakhi, because that's how Bhaktivinoda Thakur is placed, he accepts Babaji Vesh from Gaur Kishoradas Babaji Maharaj. Of course, coming back to the chapter here, we have Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur again explain what is the sequence of the flow of these chapters. So the whole idea is that it was inquired that please, you know, explain the birth of Parikshit Maharaj. And in explaining the birth of Parikshit Maharaj, you know, the storyline of Ashwatthama is explained. And now it is proposed to explain the subduing of Kali, yeah, by Sut Goswami. The subduing of Kali by Parikshit Maharaj. But to come to that point, he actually endeavors to describe the coronation of Parikshit Maharaj. Because when he is the king, he is able to subdue Kali. Now to explain the coronation of Parikshit Maharaj, these chapters are explained, where it is explained how Dhritarashtra actually, by the inspiration of Vidur, quits the kingdom. The kingdom is then taken over by the Pandavas, and then Arjun comes from Dwarka, and the Pandavas then retire timely. So that's how the flow is, and that's why this chapter comes in between. But then the chapter gives us an opportunity to actually appreciate Vidur
and to glorify with her.
One of the most amazing facts is, now for a person who's not apt in reading transcendental literature, who's absorbed in mundane rasa, for him this plot will be quite interesting. Because if you remember, Vidur actually leaves. Sorry, I have the cough and mucus describing those. Sign of old age. Any case, but Vidur is actually humiliated by Duryodhan and is asked to leave the assembly, the Kaurav assembly. And Vidur actually takes it as an opportunity, as an indication from Lord Krishna, because he is actually bewildered, he is in duality, because he does not want to fight for Duryodhan. At the same time, he knows that it will not be right for him to fight on the side of Pandavas. So he is not able to decide. So taking this as an opportunity, he leaves. And he's quite happy about it. So, for a person, if he reads this plot, he'll be surprised, you know, and he'll think, oh, so Vidur has probably taken an opportunity to get back at Dhritarashtra. You know, he's taken an opportunity to square up with Dhritarashtra, because his son actually chucked him out of the kingdom. And this is a good opportunity to chuck out Dhritarashtra of his kingdom now. And probably that's why he's making all this, you know, philosophical presentation in front of Dhritarashtra, so that he can sweetly, in a nice way, chuck Dhritarashtra out of the kingdom. But it's interesting to note that it also highlights the leadership qualities of Vidur. So Vidur is in disagreement with Dhritarashtra on so many terms and advises Dhritarashtra on number of occasions against his desires. Still, Dhritarashtra reposes his faith in Vidur. That's really interesting. Because Vidur is his minister, and on number of occasions he is very clear with his judgment, he is very clear with his opinions. His opinions do not tally with Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra is not happy about it, but Dhritarashtra in his hearts of hearts is convinced that Vidur is still my well-wisher. And that is why when Vidur actually takes this opportunity to instruct Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra already knows, you know, it's so obvious to him that old age is approaching. But Vidur is just taking this opportunity to remind him. So actually Jara, you know, is usually loosely translated as old age. But Prabhupada is so specific. He says, actually Jara means infliction because of old age. It's just not old age. Yeah. So, actually, that's what is in the story of Puranjan also, where Jara is taken as Kalakanya, the daughter of Kal, right? And the soldiers accompanying Kalakanya are nothing but the diseases that accompany old age, the symptoms that accompany old age, the diseases that accompany old age. And Parajwar is taken as brother. So actually, you know, Narad Muni is offering this Yavana king, Kalakanya, to be accepted as wife. And Prabhupada says, but because he's a Yavana, a Malecha, he has no differentiation of what is a wife and what is a sister. So he accepts him as a sister. Because they do not know to differentiate. And just for their sense gratification, they can go to any extent. Making the point that how, even when the person approaches old age, because he's so attached to his sense gratification, that's all that he knows, he loses his sense of discrimination. And thinking his body to be all in all, just wants to enjoy. And soon he's afflicted by Parajwara, that is high fever. Any case, so Vidur takes this as an opportunity. And so very interesting that the Dhritarashtra does not get back at Vidur and say, oh, please don't try to get back at me just because my son chucked you out of the kingdom. He knows that Vidur is his well-wishing friend and accepts his advice. That is what is leadership about, of actually caring for a person. So though he had so much different opinions, he had so much disagreements, both of them had so much disagreements, but Dhritarashtra never doubted the intention of Vidur. because of his attachments, he was not able to accept the opinions of Vidur. He was not able to accept the advice of Vidur. But he never doubted the intent of Vidur. That was the character of Vidur. Yeah. That was the way he stuck to his opinions and passed his judgments and gave his advices. The same thing we see with Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself was a judge. That was his profession. And many times he had to give judgments which were not really pleasing to any of the parties. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur never stepped back from taking clear judgments and decisions. In fact, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was staying in Puri, it so happened that he realized that the king of Puri, and the king of Puri at that time was a big position. Of course, I'll come to this point. But the point is, he realizes the king of Puri actually is, swindling some money from the temple fund. At that time, it was to the tune of these 80,000. And when the Thakur comes to know this, he actually implicates the king for this forgery, for this theft, and makes the king to compensate for this theft by sponsoring all the offerings that are made to Lord Jagannath. All the 52 offerings that are made to Lord Jagannath. And the king actually gets furious. Because it is not the first time that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, takes to such a position with the king. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he comes to Puri, it was at this time that he writes in his Swalikrit Jeevani that he develops anurag to the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And so when he sees the pandits and the brahmanas in Lord Jagannath in front of the Mukti Mandap having their philosophical discussion based on the Mayavad philosophy, he's not very happy. And therefore then he collects his own group of devotees and starts discussing about Sri Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exactly opposite to the Mukti Mandap. That is where you see are the footprints of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu today. That is from where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have possession of the chakra. So that is where actually Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur starts having his own sabha. So once when he is actually discussing Krishna Katha with his devotees, the king just barges in with his followers. And there are about 40-50 of them. In a very rude manner. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur minces no words. And on the spot actually chastises the king for having such a deplorable etiquette in front of all the Vaishnavas. The king is actually humbled and begs forgiveness from all the devotees there. So it is not the first time that actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes a position contrary to the actions of the king. So the king is actually disturbed when he is implicated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur for this theft. And he secretly, because he knew that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is in a powerful position. Now it is interesting, how Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes his position vis-a-vis his engagement with the Britishers. So if you study the historical background of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and it's interesting, because even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami focuses on the internal aspect of devotional service and does not focus so much on the external aspects of the times of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But there are many scriptures which do. So you actually combine the narrative that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is giving with the narrative given in the other scriptures at the times, the historical times of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It makes a fascinating reading to actually understand that how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged with the external world. Same in the case of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So if you see, in the times of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the nationalistic movement was not actually, in one sense, taken root so strongly. It was in the times of probably 1857, when the uprising took place and the nationalistic movement starts taking its ground. But it's still not gained enough momentum. So it's not that Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't know about it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur very well knew about it. In fact, most of the nationalists were his friends right from childhood. It was just in the natural course of his social dealings. Now, since I talk about social dealings and we are talking about old age, I just remembered a point of Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he mentions, I do not know where exactly, maybe it's Chaitanya Shikshamrita, where he mentions how a devotee is supposed to behave and take and be sure that how he is able to perform his sadhana, especially for the sadhak. He says, since we are talking about old age and its affliction, he says, the first priority for a sadhaka is that he should take care of his health. Because his body is the instrument of achieving his goal. Secondly, he says, he should be absorbed in reading the scriptures, analyze and assimilate them. Thirdly, he says, and very interesting, he says, a sadhaka should engage in such a service to Krishna and his devotees, which is pleasing to his mind. Very interesting aspect. He says he should engage himself in a service that is pleasing to his mind. He is not neglecting the aspect of the mind. Yeah, he's not neglecting to the aspect of the mind. Of course, but in any case. So, and then the fourth point he says is he should have healthy social intercourse. That is, he should have healthy social interactions. That is how he can actually progress in devotional service. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very well aware of what was going around him. And he very well engaged with these aspects. Same is the case with the Goswamis. You know, that was the title awarded to Bhaktivinoda Thakur I think it was Shishir Kumar Ghosh, right? When he saw the activities of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he retired from his services to the British in 1894. And after that, he actually started collecting for building the temple at Yogapeet. And he would go door to door in Calcutta, just asking for a donation of ₹1. That was his way of actually engaging as many as possible people in the devotional service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And seeing Bhaktivinoda Thakur do this, Shishir Kumar Ghosh actually wrote in an article in his Amrit Bazar Patrika, glorifying Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, saying that, I have not seen the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, but I am seeing the activities of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and that actually reminds me of the six Goswamis. And that's why I say that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the seventh Goswami. So Shishir Kumar Ghosh was actually a nationalist. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur had tied up with him to write some articles for a magazine which was actually linked to the Amrit Bazar Patrika. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Shishir Kumar Ghosh, who was actually influenced by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teaching to take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, he was so influenced that he himself wrote some books glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when this magazine was composed, and it went for quite a number of years, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was continuously contributing to this magazine. At one point, Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually stopped giving his articles to this magazine. When he realized that Shishir Kumar Ghosh is also pushing his nationalistic ideas through the magazine, he was not very comfortable with the idea. So he maintained his relationship with Shishir Kumar Ghosh, and they in fact had very good discussions. But then, at some point, he knew how he is supposed to engage with Shishir Kumar Ghosh. We see this also in the case of the six Goswamis. So Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis actually engaged with the Mughals. They actually took up the service of Nawab Hussain Shah. He was actually a Muslim. You know, he was a Yavana. But still, they accepted his service because they knew that that is the most appropriate thing to do at this time. Otherwise, the Shah will actually become a nuisance to the practicing devotees. But as soon as they actually get an indication from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they immediately leave the service of Nawab Hussain Shah. Because Nawab Hussain Shah, if I remember correctly, was a Turkish. And it is during this time that the Mughals actually, headed by Humayun and then Babur, or other way around, I'm not very sure of the history. But they actually start, conquering the different parts of Bharatvarsha. And that is one reason actually that Bhakti Vinod, actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sends them to Vrindavan. It is both. It is the internal reason that they should excavate the lost places of Vrindavan, establish the temples there, excavating the lost deities of Vrindavan, preach the glories of Shri Krishna and devotional service unto him, write the Bhakti Shastras for Bhakti, for Shri Rupa Goswami. In fact, gives more two instructions that specifically find where Govindev is and serve the Akinchan Vaishnavas who are staying there. But the external reason for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also is he realizes the fact that the Delhi is going to be the seat of the Mughal Sultanate. And that is where the Goswamis should fruitfully engage with the powers that will be there. And in fact, Rupa Goswami does that. Rupa Goswami has such nice relationship that in fact, with the Mughals, that Humayun actually, issues a decree to the fact that the cows of Rupa Goswami should be able to graze freely wherever they want. No taxes should be levied to the cows of Srila Rupa Goswami. So in fact, they very nicely engage. That's what even Jeev Goswami does with Akbar. Yeah. That is what even Man Singh does. In fact, Man Singh is the disciples of one of the Goswamis. I think it's Raghunath Bhatt Goswami that he takes diksha from. But at the same time, though he takes diksha from Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, he's engaged in the service of the Mughals. He's one of the jewels in the court of Akbar. The same is the case with Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He apparently engages with the Britishers. Yeah. In fact, it's not only the Goswamis, it's even with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is how actually they engage with the social order. That is how the politics of the whole thing is. So yes, politics in a narrow sense may be, it comes from the Greek word polity, which means citizens or city. But in a larger sense, it also means policies. Policies that will actually influence how the citizens live. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he sees the Qazi actually causing nuisance or causing disturbance in practice of devotional service, he actually instigates the whole mass of public to revolt against the Qazi. But if you read the whole section carefully, his revolt is not only against the Qazi. That's the external reason. In one sense, he's opposing the Qazi for actually causing disturbance, but the point that he's actually trying to make, and this is a political point that he's trying to make, is he's opposing the Smartha Brahmanas. Because it was the Smartha Brahmanas who actually go and complain to the Qazi. That nowhere in our scriptures it has been said that one should actually chant the names of Lord Hari so loudly. And actually by doing so, they're causing disturbance in the Hindu society. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by opposing the Qazi, is not only opposing the Qazi, but actually opposing the Smartha Brahmanas at that time. So they very well know how to engage in the polity of the whole society. That's what Bhakti Vinod Thakur does exactly. Man Singh, Shivaji Maharaj at that time, in fact, Shivaji Maharaj takes a contrary, action. He actually opposes the Mughals openly, right? He fights them out. Man Singh makes friends with them. But both have a clear objective to establish the Vedic, the Sanatan Dharma. But they take different approaches. It's how Krishna inspires anyone. Right? So Vidur, interestingly, takes a neutral approach. Nor does he become part of the Pandava Sena, nor he becomes part of the Kaurava Sena. But he actually, in one sense, takes such a strategy, both spiritually and materially, to be effective in pleasing Krishna, in fulfilling his desire. Because Krishna explains when Sanjay is sent, I think, as a messenger on behalf of Dhritarashtra to the Virat kingdom,
where actually Sanjay pleads on behalf of Dhritarashtra, it'll be better if the Pandavas still continue staying in the forest and don't come back to us their kingdom. Because anyhow they have got used to stay in the forest. What's the point coming back? Duryodhana is doing good managing the kingdom. So externally there was nothing wrong in Duryodhana's managing the kingdom. He was actually doing it very well. So in one sense, Dhritarashtra actually hints to the Pandavas, it's better you just stay in the forest and don't come back. That's the time when Krishna makes the point. The Kauravas are actually like a tree. The root of which is Dhritarashtra, the trunk of which is Duryodhana, the branches are Karna and Shakuni, and the leaves are the sons of Duryodhana. So yes, Arjun, Bhim, as warriors, they were very successful in destroying the Kaurava army. They were able to destroy the trunk, they were able to destroy the branches, they were able to destroy the leaves, everything. But the root still remained. The root was the Dhritarashtra. And the streak could have still arisen to spoil the plans of Krishna. It is this root that Vidur is able to burn in a very nice way, in a very spiritual way, by inspiring Dhritarashtra to quit his attachment to his body and take to the path of yoga. Of course, because of his offenses, he is not able to directly take the path of devotional service. But in this way, Vidur very strategically actually acts according to the plan of Krishna. So strategic planning in one sense is nothing but to strategize your actions, dovetailing them to what Krishna desires. That is what strategic planning is all about. That is what Vidur does. That is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur does. And that is what actually the Goswamis do. So they engage in the material world in apparently contradictory ways, which seem not very favorable to establishing dharma or devotional service. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes this stand, knowing very well that this will be most effective to establish Vaishnavism in long term. That is why he engages with the Britishers in a very fruitful way. In fact, the Britishers are so enamored by his character, they, in the biography that Rupalas Koba has written, which is based on the autobiography of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that is Swalikhit Jeevani that he writes. He writes a letter to his son, Lalit Prasad, when he asks the Thakur to describe his Jeevani. So in a 200 pages letter that he writes to Lalit Prasad, he encompasses his whole autobiography up to his point of retirement. That is the year of 1894. It's already 9:15. So actually, that is the point. That is the time that Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a short note of what his life has all been about. But the interesting fact is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, probably I'll take 10 minutes more. Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually is not only inspiring in terms of being the seventh Goswami, but he is also the one who actually makes a mechanism to transport the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Ragamag of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in an institutionalized way. And he writes this article on Gauranga Samaj. I think it's probably in one of the Gaudiya Patrikas that it appeared, actually describing what this institution is all about. He is definitely not, using the terms institution, but he is actually taking a larger context of a community. So that's why he's using this term as Samaj. And he gives his reference, very interesting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually gives reference to how he's actually building this whole concept by the very teachings and life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he quotes the incident of how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself established this Samaj in his conversation with Prakashananda Saraswati. So a very interesting article, and I can just request that you can go through the article. So he gives the references of how of this conversation with Prakashananda Saraswati, which actually inspires the whole concept of Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually coming up with this concept of starting the institution, which Bhakti Siddhanta Sarit Thakur and Srila Prabhupada then later pick up. And then he actually delineates even the details of how this community should work. In terms of how the Ishta Goshti should be there, what Ishta Goshti means, what Krishna Katha Goshti means, what is bhajan, what are the external activities related to the propagating of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult. So it's very interesting actually how he visualizes the whole institution. And it's interesting in the sense because it actually helps a devotee understand what is the purpose of an institution rather than getting into the nitty-gritties of how an institution should actually work. And Prabhupada himself actually was aware of this fact. So he used the institution to propagate the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it's futile to argue actually that. So it's not that Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur didn't know that institution is an evil, but then he also used the term necessary evil. So he actually, in one sense, endorsed that you cannot do away with an institution. But at the same time, he was also very aware of the fact that everybody cannot be probably formally accommodated in the institution. And how a devotee should behave in terms of the institution, while engaging with the institution, but not forgetting what the prime objective of an institution is. And that is what actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur also delineates in this essay. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is basically more known for how he glorified Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his dham and his naam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur glorified his naam by not only himself, insistently chanting the holy names. In fact, from the year from I think 1908 to 1914, he just goes in recluse bhajan in Jagannath Puri, and is just insistently chanting, taking the external excuse that his body is affected with paralysis. But before that, from the year 1896 to 1908. Even before that, actually, very interesting. Just like we have this concept of sabbatical, Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually is able to impress the Britishers so much that he is able to take leave of absence from his duty on a number of occasions. Also because of his sickness, but also because he wanted to preach. So the first time he takes a furlough, which is in today's understanding a sabbatical, is for a full 2 year period. So when he is the magistrate, he requests the Britishers to actually give him a 2 years leave of absence because he just wants to preach. It is at this time that he, with one of his friends, interesting because, Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually, even at that point, contemplates to go to Vrindavan with one of his friends. I forget his name now, but Bhrita Bhringa, I think that's his name, last name, to go to Vrindavan. And both of them actually discussed. I said, let's go to Vrindavan and do some bhajan. That's it. We are done. So keeping this in mind, they have already discussed this. But in the meantime, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is forced to go on some official duty to Calcutta, which is at that time known as Calicut. So there he actually stays in the temple of Tarkeshwar Mahadev. And some say it is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some say it is actually Mahadev himself who actually comes in the dream of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and says, in a dream of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and tells him, why are you trying to go to Vrindavan now? Don't you think that you are forgetting some work that is still to be completed in Navadvip? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he gets this dream, he realizes that probably Mahaprabhu doesn't want him to go to Vrindavan. So he comes back, talks to his friend, and then both of them decide that we will actually preach the holy name of Krishna. So with his friend, he establishes this Namhat preaching, and they are able, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is actually able to establish about 500 Namhat centers. Not alone. Actually, he takes all of his friends with him. He's not doing it alone. Of course, he is empowered, but he is not doing it alone. He takes the help of his friends and establishes 500 Namhad centers. But before that, or parallel to that, he first actually is able to find the dham of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So at that time, there was a controversy regarding the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And many felt that it was on the west bank of Navdeep. But reading the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and other scriptures, the Bhakti Ratnakar and Hari Rai Thakur's Navdeep Parikrama Paddhati, he realizes that actually it's on the east bank of the Ganges. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not convinced that Navdeep, that was at that time was the birthplace, accepted as the birthplace, is actually the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So once when he was on the terrace of the Rani Dharmashala there, with his son, Kamala Prasad, he is actually able to visualize in the northerly direction on the east bank of Ganges some light emanating. And he asks his son, can you see that light? And he says, yes, I do see it. And he asks one of his clerks, he says, well, I cannot see it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur just smiles. But the next week, he actually goes to that place, which at that time is known as Balaladigi, after the descendant of Lakshman Sen, that is Balal Sen, still known as Balal Digi, that area. And he goes there and he's able actually to go to the same spot. He's able to identify the spot because the next day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur again climbs the terrace and looks in that direction. He's able to see a very tall, tall tree. So when he goes the next week, he goes to this place and sees that actually there is a small mound which is covered by the Tulsi plants. And the residents actually tell him, well, this is the place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For years we have been worshipping this place at the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he's a magistrate, immediately, somehow gets access to the old maps from the 16th century, which point to this place as Mayapur. In fact, the post office, though it was known as Miapur at that time, the post office had on itself written as the post office of Mayapur. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is convinced about this point. Well, this has to be the place. But just to, spiritually also have a stamp on it, he requests Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And you all know the story how he comes down and actually confirms how this is the place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth. And of course, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur starts building the temple, they get the Adokshat's deity, which archaeologically also gives the confirmation that this is the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually, establishes the dham of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also establishes the dham of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is at this time that he makes those three predictions also. I think it's in 1885 that he writes an article in Sajjan Toshini, where he says that soon a personality will come who will travel unrestricted throughout the world propagating the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Oh, well, will that day come when the fair-skinned brothers will actually come together with the Bengali brothers and chant the names of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Oh, I am waiting for that day. When that day will come when the fair-skinned ones will dance in the holy names of Sri Krishna in ecstasy. So these three predictions he makes and no soon does actually it comes to bear fruit in the personality of both Bhaktisiddhanta Sarit Thakur and Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And it is at this point when he is in Swanand Sukand Kuj that he is able to envision the Adbhut Mandir coming soon. In fact, Srila Prabhupada himself says that anyone who helps to build this temple that Bhaktivinoda Thakur envisaged, which will actually flood the world with the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur will personally come and take him back to Godhead. So, it's this prediction that is made by Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself. And, it's his appearance day today. And somehow by his mercy, we are engaged in helping that project in some way. So we seek the blessings of all Vaishnavas that we are able to please Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada and all the Acharyas to fulfill the prophecy that Bhaktivinoda Thakur made. Of course, I also wanted to say that how Jiva Goswami also fulfills, actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur also fulfills the prophecy that Jiva Goswami makes in his commentaries of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, but it's already 9:30. I think I cannot take more than this. Thank you very much for your patient hearing. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki, Jai. Okay, Ramandiya, very good.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.